File 29, Cycle 3. This is Jean McMillan. Today's date is April 4th, 2018. I am interviewing Brenda Shattuck, who works for the Harney & Son Fine Tea Company. She's going to talk about her career path to Harney Tea, what she does at Harney Tea, blending tea, making tea, anything she wants to do about tea. But first, we'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
Brenda Shattuck.
What is your maiden name?
That is my maiden name.
That is your maiden name. Oh, dear. What is your birth date?
May 24th, 1961.
And where were you born?
Great Barrington, Massachusetts.
And your parents' names?
Ralph Shattuck and Joan Shattuck.
And her maiden name was?
Salvo.
S-A-L-V-O.
Yeah.
And do you have siblings?
Yes, I have a brother, Paul, and a sister, Christine.
And it's Christine with a C?
Correct.
Okay. Do you still live in Copaig-ish?
Yes, I actually live in the, it's considered Copaig, but my mailing address is Hillsdale, New York.
Okay, all righty. We're going to start with Dottie Smith. Okay. When did you join Dottie Smith?
1981.
And where was Dottie Smith located?
On Brook Street in Lakeville.
And what did she produce? What did she make?
Women's fashion accessories.
Such as?
Earrings, necklaces, belt buckles, a limited clothing line, handbags, tote bags.
Headbands?
Headbands.
I remember that.
Monogrammed tote bags.
Now, you started with monogramming and engraving.
Engraving, yes.
How was that done?
We had one machine that was strictly for monogramming. It's a modified sewing machine, basically.
Okay.
So you could set it up to monogram three initials. You could. We were doing tote bags and jute belts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the engraving was on gold-plated buttons, different parts for jewelry that could be monogrammed.
Monogrammed. Okay. All righty. And then you went to an assembly line?
When there wasn't enough to do it with the monogramming, mm-hmm. then I was in assembly where we strung beads, we made belts. Anything that was needed to be assembled. Put the earrings that came in on cards, buttons, you know, sets of buttons. We had to put those on cards.
So you actually put the earrings onto the card itself?
Yeah, they would come in like bulk, loose, and then we would, you know, set them up as pairs onto cards.
And I hope you did a right and a left earring. Because there are right
yes,
and left earrings.
Yes, if the design required, yes, it was left
okay.
and a right earring.
Just checking. And then you moved on to customer service.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I bet you got a lot of information that you had to gather from whoever was calling.
Yes, you'd have to confirm who the customer was, their address, and then you know, say take their order, whether it be for belting or... you know, jewelry or whatever.
Okay.
And then that would then be entered into the computer.
Did you actually do the data entry?
I did later on, yes.
Okay. And then you did something called in-house arts?
Yes. I was there a few years and she decided to have her catalog done in-house, they call it. So she,
mm-hmm.
had hired... an artist, you know, graphic designer, whatever, to come in and actually lay out the catalogs. It wasn't done on computer then. It was still all hand done.
Yeah.
So she had gone through one young girl who came and went, and then there was another gentleman that came, and he worked for her for a few years, and then he decided he was going to leave. And seeing with my art background, I asked if I could apply for the job. So I... you know, she said, certainly. So one day I came in with my portfolio
mm-hmm.
and sat down with she and Dottie and Leonard, her husband. And
what was your husband's name?
Leonard.
Okay.
But he didn't go by Smith. I can't, unfortunately, remember his last name.
It's all right.
So I had my interview with them, and they were impressed by my portfolio and said, well, why don't we give you a try?
And what is your art background?
Well, I went to Marist College for fashion design and merchandising for 2 years. And after that, you transfer to, like, a liberal arts program, which was provided by Marist. But I was thinking of transferring to Dutchess Community. But since I was done with the fashion program and looking for a job for, like, the summer...
That made sense to
me. I was told, you know, by several people about, you know, well, there's this company in Lakeville that does fashion accessories.
It sounds like
the perfect place.
Oh, yeah.
So I say I ended up there and stayed there for 12 and a half years. So I ended up, I did her catalog, and she also let me design some buckles.
Oh, good.
So I have a few of her designs that are actually my designs.
Wonderful. Did you monogram them? For you?
No.
Oh, gee.
They went out under her name, but I know which ones were my designs.
Of course. Something like, you know, your children. You always know your children.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Now, because she was downsizing, you were looking for something else to do.
I knew I was going to possibly be out of a job and had to start thinking about looking for something else.
Okay.
And one of the young ladies that I was had been working with at Dottie's, who had already left, through a friend of hers who was working for the Harneys, told me that they were hiring.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, I'll give it a try. It was just up the road.
Sure.
So I called and I came in and I had an interview with Michael. And he said, you know, everything looked good, but he wanted me to come back and meet his father.
Oh, yes.
So I think it was like a week later I came back and I met with John and Michael. And he was happy with what, you know, what he saw of me. And when I mentioned that he also was friends with my uncle.
Who was?
Jack Flynn.
Uh-huh.
He was like, oh, well.
No problem. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It does make a difference.
Yeah. Because they know your background.
Yes.
It makes a great deal of difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so when did you actually come to work for the Harneys?
It was October 12th of 1993.
And what did you do first?
I was in the driveway my first day, this beautiful October day, learning how to blend Earl Grey tea with Sally Mott.
And the driveway was East
at
Main
the house, East, yep, 11 East Main Street. Yep, across from the White Hart. Mm-hmm.
And it was Earl Grey.
Mm-hmm.
Good old Earl Grey. And the ladies inside the house were discussing you.
Yes, come to find out several years later when we were all just chatting about things, and they were inside saying to Michael, She's going to quit. You have her out there blending tea on her first day. And I was out there loving it. It was this beautiful day. I was learning something fun, and I was like, I can't believe I'm getting paid to do this.
And you also mentioned that you were able to wear blue jeans, whereas at Dottie Smith, you couldn't.
Yes. The only time we were allowed to wear blue jeans at Dottie's was if we came in on a Saturday to do something where...
Yeah. A business day.
So I was, you know, I was like, finally, I get to wear jeans.
Oh, good. And that makes a lot of difference if you're comfortable in what you're wearing and you
it does.
What you're doing.
Yes.
And it was a beautiful day.
And it's funny because when the tea company had moved to Brook Street, and Dottie had moved to the smaller gray building, I went by one day and she came out and I stopped to chat with her. And she was wearing blue jeans, and she looked at me, and she goes, look. And I was like, oh, yeah, now you do it.
After I've left. How could you do that to me? Then you had a wonderful story about working at 11 East Main Street, and you said that the kitchen was used for...
When we had to pack a Williams-Sonoma order,
okay,
which was loose tea into tins, it required more space.
Yeah.
So we actually ended up doing that in the Harney's kitchen, which was not very big.
It wasn't very big.
But we set up an assembly line at the island in the middle with mm-hmm. the tea at the end and mm-hmm. the tins, and then the tins came that were filled came to the end and got put in boxes.
Okay. And then the dining room was next?
The dining room was, yes. When my first winter there, I was helping Brigitte with gifts, and we needed space to set up another assembly line, so we ended up taking over the dining room.
And then you wound up in the center room at the table, putting together something.
I was filling little blue tins for Ritz-Carlton gift shops. We did about 6 different flavors for them.
Mm-hmm. And Elise came home.
Elise came home. She had been in the hospital overnight with a case of pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
And she had come through her real estate office, mm-hmm. which is in the front of the house, and came out to find me sitting at the table in the center room, which was sort of like another dining room, and just lost it.
Yep.
The only thing was the 2 words out of her mouth were, "John! Michael!"
Which is why
and
you
me
weren't...
sitting there, you know, shivering like, oh
dear,
no, this is where I was told to be.
Oh yeah, you were perfectly innocent. But this is probably what induced the move to Brook Street.
Yes, we had just taken over too many rooms in the house.
It's a big house.
It's a big house, but still when you start, we just cross too many lines.
The camel in the tent, you know. Oh, dear. When you did move to Brook Street, what was the building that you moved into?
It was one of the building. The main building was a 3-bay garage that Hans Rocky had been storing cars in.
Oh, I knew it well.
Another, small computer programming mm-hmm. company had been in there just before us. So there was carpet on the floor, and it was painted. It was cleaned up pretty well.
Okay.
And then there was another 3 or 4 bay garage to the side with, like, 1 finished mm-hmm. bay. And actually, Hans Rocky still had vehicles in the other part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My husband used to take his Lincoln Continental to Hans Rock, so I know that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what were you doing at Brook Street? You were doing special packaging?
I was still customer service. Okay. I was still helping with some of the gifts. And specialty packaging, which required more hands-on, more, you know, you had to label everything and count out tea bags and package it a little more carefully because they were, like, soft foil packaging.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little more attention to detail than just filling tins, or at this point, like, some of the girls no longer did the packing because we actually had a packing room. So a lot of the girls that were there before me were just doing strictly customer service and filling, you know, mm-hmm. filling orders.
What colors were you using at that time? Just gold and black?
Yes, the gold and black, yeah.
Do you know when the jewel colors came in?
For the HRP line?
Yeah.
Well, the first colors that really came in, I believe, was the classic line.
Okay.
The white, the ivory with the colors. And then the jewel, more of the jewel colors, the HT line, was developed for, I believe, Anthropology.
Okay. In listening to the podcasts, I learned about the different colors coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and then the next line was the HRP line, where John Harney had worked with the Historical Palace people to come up with several blends that were going to be for them. I mean, they make sure that the tin and the design is what, you know, they're looking for.
And was this a hotel chain, or?
No, this is in England, the Historical Palaces. So Kensington.
Okay. The Queen.
Mm-hmm. All to do with the Queen.
Okay. And that's called an
HRP, Historic Royal Palace.
Okay. Well, I hope they do something for Balmoral.
which is the Scottish carousel.
Mm-hmm.
When you were working with the gift line, did you work with Donna Olinger?
Yes. When we moved from the house to Brook Street, mm-hmm. things kind of, because we were growing, things kind of separated a little bit more, so that Donna was taking on, basically took on the mail order aspect of it. And she and I worked together on coming up with gifts that we could also sell for mail order customers, using some of the product that was already set up for retail,
mm-hmm.
and then bringing in different food items, cookies and candies and so forth, and packaging them up.
And what about corporate gifts? Would that be something special?
That's something special, and mostly I worked with Brigitte on that.
Okay. She is lovely. I had a wonderful time interviewing her.
Mm-hmm.
And you also did the mail order.
I helped with the mail order, yeah.
You're a busy lady.
Yes. Jack of all trades.
But that's good. It's good to be versatile. Now, the employee numbers have gone up. It was six, and now it's up to over 200.
Yeah, I was the fifth full-time employee when I started, and now we're well over 200. That's company-wide. I mean, that's including
everybody.
Las Vegas mm-hmm. and sales reps. And yeah.
It's still, for a company that started in the basement of the White Hart, that's still pretty good.
Yes.
That's still pretty good. And you moved over to the Milton Railroad Plaza in 2005, and you developed a gift line?
Yeah, at that point, because we now were so far separated, Brigitte and the retail shop stayed in Lakeville. So I asked if I could develop the gift line even more than it was, and they let me do so.
And in working with this, were you working with Brigitte and Emmerich?
With Brigitte.
Brigitte.
Yes, Emmerich was still probably in high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you still have the six corporate accounts that you work with exclusively?
Yeah,
they came along.
Yeah, they came along to say we've had some come and go.
Mm-hmm. But you're still, if somebody, and I'm going to make up a name like William Sonoma, if that's one of your accounts, when they call, they ask for you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. They still are an account.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you developed some teas all by yourself, didn't you?
Yes. Well, the first one they let me do was Mother's Bouquet, which is a floral herbal tea.
Mm-hmm.
With a citrus flavor that I, thought, well, everybody has a mother, so.
Usually.
Yes,
yeah.
Usually. So I just thought it would be a nice addition to the line. And then a few years back, I had come up with an idea and I presented it to them, and it's a birthday tea.
Mm-hmm. And was that done for John Sr.'s birthday?
It ended up being that way. Mm-hmm. I had been working on it, mm-hmm. but by the time mm-hmm. it was completed, as far as the blend was set, the label, it timed it out so that it would be perfect timing to use for his 80th birthday.
Now, when you blend tea, how is it done? Is it, done a pinch of this and a whisker of that, or is it?
There is a recipe for every blend. So it's, divided by poundage at
okay.
this point.
Yep.
And then percentages of whether it be the flavorings, which are usually oils.
Mm-hmm.
We use natural wherever we can. Then some teas have actual flower petals.
Okay, I was going to ask about that.
Mm-hmm. Different okay. marigolds is one that we use a lot of. Cornflowers.
Oh.
And then the different flavorings, as in a spice, cinnamon, mm-hmm. cardamom. Some of the new teas we're using actually have pepper, black pepper,
yeah,
as well as orange, orange peel, lemon peel,
uh-huh.
apple pieces, One of the new teas which I pushed for and we finally have is a pear tea, so that has actual dried pieces of pear in it.
Oh my. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, some of the blends can have up to, I think we counted one of them recently has up to like 15 different ingredients.
It's more complicated than the ordinary person would realize to blend a tea, to come up with a flavor that is, you know, people like. But the ordinary person has no idea how tea is blended or how many different ingredients go mm-hmm. into it. And that's why I go for the details. Mm-hmm. Now, your favorite tea is blackcurrant.
Blackcurrant.
And at lunchtime, you would do something a little unusual.
Yep, when I first started and we were still back in the house, about half an hour or so before our lunch break, I would go up into the kitchen with a blackcurrant tea bag. I get one of the big, heavy glasses and put the tea bag in and out of the bun hot water machine, which is a standard in the Harney kitchen, pour the hot water over it, and I would cover it and set it aside and let it steep. Mm-hmm. So at noon, when I came up for lunch, I would take the tea bag out, I would add some ice and a little bit of sugar, and I would have iced tea with my lunch every day. And I had noticed the boss watching me once in a while do this, and the one day he was like, Miss America, because he called us all Miss America, what are you doing? And I told him, and he said, oh, I like to have iced tea with my lunch. He said, but it's the middle of winter. And I said, well, people drink soda all year long. Why can't you drink iced tea all along? And he stood there in front of me and says, I like that. That's a good sales pitch.
Wonderful. And they do sell it, don't they?
We do sell bottled iced tea. And
we do sell iced tea
all year long. And we do tell people that this, you know, hot tea, you know, what you think is normally used for hot tea makes a great iced tea.
Sure. But you'd need a strong tea because the ice cubes would dilute it.
Well, you have to either use a little more tea or let it steep
a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm. Usually more tea is better because if you let it steep too long, it can get bitter.
Bitter, yeah. That's the way the Scots like it. Now, the atmosphere here is always very cheerful, upbeat, and pleasant. As I coming in, can I help you? What would you like? And it's always a pleasant atmosphere. You find that yourself, having been here so many years?
Yeah, it's a following from Mr. H.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was always happy, singing, laughing, whatever,
whistling. Yeah.
And he made it an enjoyable place to work, and we try to keep it that way.
And you've been here how many years?
24 and a half.
That's wonderful. Now, you told me about a cocktail party that was held recently, a Christmas cocktail party.
Well, it was just before Christmas, but it was actually to acknowledge anybody that has worked here 10 years or longer. There was quite a crowd. I don't even remember how many people, but I was quite surprised to see faces and go, oh, wow, they've been here 10 years or longer.
Yeah. Is there anything that you'd like to add to this that I haven't covered?
I was trying to think back on things, but honestly, I can't pinpoint anything in particular. It's just that it's always been a great place to work, and remembering the boss, especially with his, to say, coming through and whistling or singing or calling from his room.
What a happy memory.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
shit.